And now, part four of the XXXY Files.
Part four, prologue.
Dear diary, minty green phlegm chunks cascaded from my mouth and skated on the bottom of the shower stall this morning. No matter what mouthwash I use, I still can't get the taste of sex, beer, and vomit out of my mouth. I hate hangovers. Hold up, what's this? I just noticed a beautiful woman sleeping in the bed. I wish I could remember where we met or anything at all about her, but I must have blacked out all last night. Did I have anything besides rebellion brew? I feel like such a jackass. Maybe if I'm lucky, she won't head for the hills when she wakes up. I'll offer to buy her breakfast and see if we can talk then. I don't know what, if anything, I'll feel like eating. My head and my stomach are doing routine Cirque du Soleil couldn't top. Uh-oh, she's talking asleep. What does tu es un canon secours and salope mean?
And now, part four. Part four. Skulky here. I think I may have a plan to get Alex and I out of this spacecraft. If those aliens want to know about Earth so much, I'm going to tell them so much info that they beg me to stop. Where would you like me to start, Fob? I said mockingly. Do those initials stand for anything?
My name is Fop, with a P, and no, the letters do not stand for anything. If you like, you may step out of the mental image machine, which has made projectable pictures from those in your memory, so you may see each one and address the class about them.
The chair converted to allow me to stand up. I turned toward the screen and saw my parents' apartment complex. This is the building I grew up in, I chirped in amazement. I never expected to see my old neighborhood again, because it was gentrified 3 years ago and is now a metro station. Can I get glossy reproductions of these when I leave? Fop shot me an angry glare, and I continued on nonchalantly. My parents lived and worked in the worst ghetto in Montreal. They owned this tiny walk-up apartment on the corner of Rue Bidet and Rue the Day. They were seen as so poor and so charmless by their neighbors that even the Haitian and Vietnamese immigrants looked down upon them. They decided that the only way to change their lot in life was to join
La Revanche des Berceaux,
The Revenge of the Cradle,
and have more offspring than anyone. I was the 34th of 35 children. After I was born, the nurses in the hospital bronzed my mother's uterus. So when my little sister was born, she came to light with a permanent metallic glitter gloss to her skin. I guess we should have seen it coming when she ran away to Rio to become a showgirl. But enough about her sordid life. Let me tell you about mine. As a teenager, I was the earliest and biggest fan of the pop singer Celine Dion. I became her makeup consultant, and we each wore tons of dark, smoky eyeshadow. I not only had to beat the boys off, being Catholic, I couldn't go all the way, but because of all the eyeshadow, moths and butterflies would try to mate with my face. One summer, a giant monarch attacked me. And ever since, I've had these horrible nosebleeds. With that, Fop began to snore, and I realized that the entire class was asleep. I tiptoed out of the classroom and found a passageway leading to a glass-like wall that looked out over several rooms. They reminded me of a physical exam room at the local hospital. I walked along for a while, and that's when I saw Alex without a stitch on. What a happy accident! The aliens placed him on a table with a small dish sunk into the middle of the cushion. I wasn't sure what the dish was for, but I had a feeling it wasn't for a urine sample. I looked for an entrance to the room I was seeing Alex in, but I couldn't find one. I stared in horror and disbelief as the aliens flashed a light on him and he shrank to a zygote and landed in the dish. In a few minutes, he was back to normal size. Except he was transformed into a woman. If I ever get us out of here, I'll have to spend a few months drinking myself sick on VSOP. Luckily, if I can get past that, she is a total knockout. As they dressed Alex in a bathrobe, I could hear someone rounding the corner. I ducked down the hall to hide and saw an alien maintenance worker replacing a light bulb in the ceiling with an expandable platform. I watched as he lost his balance and crashed through the window at Alex's room. Another happy accident! Alex's alien attendants turned the maintenance worker into a child, so they could carry him out of the room. I used the platform to help me get through the window. Hi, Alex, I said. What's new? Alex opened the bathrobe.
Pretty good job, don't you think?
I can't believe that you're taking this so well, I whispered. Most people would have a nervous breakdown. In fact, I'm about to have one for you.
Okay, maybe this deserves an explanation. My parents divorced when I was 10 years old. Each of them realized they were queer, and ever since then, I've had 2 moms and 2 dads. Each couple plays with gender, and ever since my dad's joined the Radical Fairies, they're in drag nearly all the time. Combine my personal history with all that I've seen as an airline pilot, and I'm pretty much shockproof. Besides which, I can't wait to call my parents and tell them that I've just become the daughter they've always wanted.
I'm glad to see that you're taking this all in stride, but don't you think we should try getting out of here?
Don't you want to hear their plan for us first?
Okay, what did you find out?
Well, apparently they plan to let us go, but first they want us to appear on some sleazy talk show, make love in front of the audience, and send it out over some alien dish network, all for the self-aggrandizement of some host who goes by the name of Jabba the Butt.
Great, I can just see it now. They can name the episode Cleave It to Beaver.
I'm getting the feeling that we're going to have to rename it something like It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing.
I'm sorry, Alex, but I was really hoping for some guy action before I took a walk on the wild side. Besides, since I'm here, we might as well make a break for it.
Well, I guess I'll have to find a new job.
And why is that?
Because even though I'm female now, the fellas at work still expect me to jump at the chance to sleep with a dead ringer for Julian Androgen. Half of them will be so mad at me that they won't talk to me. The other half will make me the butt of all their jokes for decades.
Yes, Alex. You've convinced me. Deep down inside, you're still one of the guys. Look, Alex, the real reason they might give you a hard time on all this is that they really want to know how 2 women do it. In which case, I recommend that you tell them to visit one of those shop-at-home internet sites that sells lesbian erotica. And I mean real lesbian erotica, not that crappy porn they saw in college that was directed by a man with 2 straight women and a gurgling garden hose.
Wow, I just realized I'm no longer the target audience of those films.
See, you're getting wiser already. Let's get out of here, Alex. I've had enough excitement for one night.
The car and the transporter are down the hallway to the right, but where should we go?
We should go to Mildrew's place. There's never any excitement there. So we left the spaceships and went back to the hotel. God, since the aliens never seemed upset that we left. We reached Fux's room at about 6 a.m., and it was still pretty dark out. Fux came to the door in a towel and a bad hangover.
Who's your friend?
This is Alex. I'll let her explain how she came to be. Can I use your bathroom? I need to freshen up big time.
Sure, help yourself, but be careful. Floor's wet. I just showered.
As I turn the corner to enter the bathroom, I notice something. And who's your friend? I asked Mildewer, pointing to the bed. He lifted a finger to his mouth.
She's still asleep. I don't know who she is. We'll ask her when she wakes up.
After I returned from freshening up, I told Fux he left his diary on the sink. Oh, and by the way, I giggled, in her sleep, she said,
"You are a gorgeous hunk of a cocksucker."
And that you're also...
"One hot bitch."
And then I did my best Desi Arnaz to say, "Lucy, you got some splainin' to do." At this point, Mildewer fainted. Alex and I stared at each other a long time in disbelief, with both our jaws agape. And then we cracked up laughing. End of part 4.
Who is really behind the gender swaps? And why does Jabba the Butt really want Skulky and Alex on her show? Find out in part 5, the final chapter of the XXXY files, coming up soon.